get the strap.
We're back, neither live nor local, on the Bets and Quotes podcast, on whatever podcast platform you're listening on.
Let me say this. Just, if somebody wants to call me an a-hole, trust me, no skin off my back. I don't care. That's their opinion. That's fine.
You're an a-hole.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Bets and Quotes podcast, a podcast for the rubes, by the rubes, talking all things Power Trip. Bets and Quotes is hosted by Chuck, better known as Power Trip Bets.
Why I love Chuck is that's exactly how I felt about the show, but I couldn't articulate it the way that he did.
And Dave, the one and only Power Trip Quotes.
Guy, he's going to get in there and just try to maul you.
They were going to get an apartment together and see how things went, but settled on a podcast instead. Our legal disclaimer is simply that Lawyer Lambert probably likes us better than you, so good luck suing us. We hope you enjoy this episode, but if not, feel free to play Jax on 494.
All right, Dave. Well, it is April 1st. It's a big day. Not only is it a big anniversary day, as you're going to talk about later, but the Twins had their season opener today. So, Lou Cove, we got your Twins scuttlebutt right here because we know as our number one listener, you like to hear the scuttlebutt. And the scuttlebutt is your Twins blew it in the ninth inning. They allowed the Brewers to come back, tie it up, and win it in extra innings and lose the home opener 6-5. Dave, did you have any cash on the game today?
Oh, well, of course, Chuck. I had the under 7.5 because, that seemed like a really good decision. And, it was for the first five innings, and then the Twins kind of blew it open with that Buxton home run, and then it kind of stalled there at 7, and what could happen when the Twins bullpen gets involved in a baseball game? They blew it.
Of course they did. Well, you can take solace in the fact that having the under where you had it and losing that isn't quite as bad as me having the Twins money line and losing that, because I felt really good about that heading into the bottom of the ninth. And
Rosie,
we are 0-1 on the year, so good job, Twins. So we'll bring you more scuttlebutt all season long, Lou, but hey, it feels good to have baseball back. I've been looking forward to this season. Hopefully by the end of the season, life will be somewhat normal. So that's the optimistic route. Well, this Saturday, we are having yet another Patreon happy hour. So hopefully all you Patreon listeners can join us for that. We are going to do the first ever Duel of the Decades at our happy hour. So you've heard the guys play it every week, but now you get to be a part of it at our happy hour, and I'm not even the one putting it together, so that's kind of nice. Our good buddy Steve is the guy putting this whole thing together. He's a music guy, and I can't wait to see what he's come up with, and we'll get to play along. I don't know who's gonna call in if we have a tie, but should be fun either way. And then we're also gonna play a second round of my game called Close Enough. So I think that was kind of fun to play the first time. So we'll have round two of that. So a couple fun games to play during happy hour while you're watching whatever sport you might be watching on Saturday night. There's going to be a whole lot of stuff on, so hope you can join us for that. You can join for as little as a buck at patreon.com/betsandquotes. So we hope to see you all there. And especially those of you that are Patreon subscribers but have never been to a happy hour before, don't feel intimidated. It's a really cool group, and we'll have fun. We'll be gentle with you, unless you vote for the wrong thing in the Duel of the Decades, and then I'll be a complete asshole. But we'll be nice to you, and can't wait for that. So
I'll keep my top on, I promise.
Well, that would be a first. So you're the Terry of the Patreon happy hours. So
I know. I like flopping my own tees.
For sure. All right. Well, we got lots of stuff to get to tonight. We got the bets keep coming in. They're keeping me busy. So we got a bets update. We got quotes of the week this week. We're going to talk. Justin Timberlake brought Sexy back. We're bringing Hadouken back. So we're going to talk some Hadouken tonight. And then we'll also do your thoughts, of course. Got lots of stuff to cover. Anniversaries, the Dark Star stuff. Lots of good stuff to talk about in your quotes notes update. So very looking forward to that. But we'll start as always with a bets update.
Partridge Bodge.
All right, well, we are your bowling and swimming leaders, so let's start off with the bowling. Now, we already had the Chris Hockey versus Corey Cove, that Chris was going to bowl a 200 in the final 3 weeks of the league. This week, Sauce joined that bet. He showed some confidence in Hockey, so he also put down $50 against Corey that Hawk would bowl a 200, and Hawk almost did it. In his second game last night, he very nearly got a 200 game. Dave, I think this is a fairly even bet, maybe a slight edge to Corey, but I think we're fairly even on this.
Yeah, I do think it's very even. Obviously, the heartbreaker there in the second game for Hawk last night is I think he bowled like a 182 or something, but he was coming off of strikes in the seventh and eighth frames when he missed a single pin spare to open the ninth, that really would have clinched and locked up probably somewhere around the low 220s to high 210s game there for him. So that was a heartbreaker. But if he got that close with the new shoes, the new ball, obviously this is probably his 40th game that he's ever bowled in his life. I think he's on the right trajectory to get this thing done in the next couple of weeks here.
Yeah, he's still got two more weeks, and you know, regardless of whether he gets to 200 or not, that's one sexy son of a bitch on those Instagram videos.
Oh, yeah. I mean, mask and all, which, you know, I think normally Hawk wears that mask as his underwear, when he's in the bedroom with Larry Lambert, maybe a little bigger than an eye patch.
Perfect. And speaking of sexy son of bitches, another sexy son of bitch is going to be getting in the pool 1 week from today as we record this for the Meat Sauce 250. So, oh boy, it's happening.
I love the branding on that, the Meat Sauce 250. No, hello, folks, and welcome to the Meat Sauce 250.
And, I mean, it's kind of cool. I mean, like, I think we have to take just a tiny little bit of pride in the fact that, you know, they have not done a live broadcast in over a year due to the quarantine, and some stupid little bit that we did on this little podcast is evolved into them actually doing a live broadcast from the White Bear Lake YMCA to an event where Corey may very well end up throwing a toaster into the pool to electrocute Sauce.
I know. What started as, you know, behind the scenes here, you know, we keep long records of things that we find in old podcasts that we listen to and make notes. And, one of these things was bound to get found and, you know, heard by the right ears and get, re-brought up on the show. And, you know, Chuck, you did a good job bringing this back to the surface. And I think the Rubes and everybody is in for a treat next week.
It's definitely been the biggest topic of conversation over the last couple of weeks, and should provide lots of content for KFAN.com. So even Chad Abbott has to be happy with us at this point. So driving lots of listeners and such. So yeah,
who's
can't
Chad
wait.
Abbott?
Oh yeah, that guy. So can't wait. Should be a lot of fun. Obviously, we've got Corey's got the 1,000 versus Carly. Hawk's got the 50 versus Sauce. I love how Sauce said this week that if it wasn't for Carly getting involved with a bet, he would have just handed Hockey $50 and said, forget it. So just so brilliant. So, yeah, cannot wait for that. That is 1 week from today. That is absolutely that's going to be one of their most listened to shows in a long, long time. So cannot wait for that. We've also got a couple other bets going on. Of course, we got the Core versus Four going on yet. Corey's basically down to two teams that he can win money with, Houston and UCLA, but they are massive underdogs to Gonzaga and to Baylor. Looks like we're going to have a Gonzaga-Baylor final, but that's why they play the games, you know, and Corey's in a position where between all these bets that are going on, I mean, Corey could lose 1,000 in the Core versus Four. He could lose 1,000 to Carly. And he could lose, 200, 225 in the golf bet. Or, conversely, He could win 1,000 if UCLA shocked the world. He could win 1,000 if Meat Sauce drowns. And, you know, he could win over $2,000 if he picks the right golfer for the Masters. So you're looking at, you know, a potential $4,000 week for Corey if the dominoes fell just right. So quite the massive swing this week, but I think he's in a lot of trouble in the core versus four.
Yeah, you know, while he's, you know, washing all this money down the drain anyways, he might as well throw another 100 on UCLA plus 1,100 against Gonzaga on Saturday night. I mean, what's another 100 bucks to lose? And, you know, if you win that, it's a free roll for the core versus four. But, yeah, he's in tough shape here. Everybody kind of sniffed out the Gonzaga angle, and they look very dominant. He missed a hedge opportunity here after the games on Sunday ended as we entered the Elite Eight. I believe Gonzaga was minus 120 at that point to win. So while he was down in Iowa, I think he should have put, you know, maybe half of what he was going to lose on Gonzaga there at minus 120 to win, to kind of half hedge out of this if he really believes that Gonzaga is the team that's going to cut down the nets here. Yeah, very interesting. It's been a fun tournament, and I do think Baylor is way more than a live dog here if they knock off Houston. To play Gonzaga in the national championship, I think they'll probably be about 6.5 to maybe 8-point dogs against Gonzaga. But Baylor is the best 3-point shooting team in the nation. They play a very tough D, I don't know. I think I might be on Baylor and the points at least on that game.
Yeah, it should. Should be an interesting final if we get to that. Of course, the flip side is you get like maybe a Houston upset and Gonzaga doesn't have any problems in the final. I at least want Gonzaga to have a little bit of a sweat. They've had way too easy of a season. So give them a little bit of a sweat and at least get Corey's hopes up for a little bit. So the last bet I wanted to talk about was one that they placed today, actually, was the season-long bet on the Twins. So Hawk and Sauce both kind of wanted the over. But Hawk decided, yeah, he wants the action, so he ended up on the underside of 88.5 wins for the Twins versus Sauce for $200. You know, Twins were way over that last year. I mean, I would lean towards the over, but, you know, with these season-long bets, you can get a lot of things that can go awry. I mean, we saw Donaldson get hurt on his first at-bat today. That's money well spent. So, you know, lots of different things can happen. You know, the Twins very easily could end up, you know, just a 500 team or even below. You know, you get a few injuries, a few things don't go your way. I mean, they're already 0-1 on a game they definitely should have had in the win column. So, same thing. I don't have a strong take on that. You know me. My only strong take on season-long over-unders is with the Wolves. So, what side would you be on Twins 88.5?
So I would be on the under just out of general theory. You know, it's a large sample size. You get 162 games. Really, my season-long strategy is the sharp money is always going to be on the under. The Rubes are always going to be on the over. So I think that the number is always a little inflated towards the over. And there's just, you know, so many injuries and things that can go wrong or fall apart based on preseason expectations to go with the over. And, you know, that's a lot of wins. I mean, obviously the Twins, you know, they could replicate and get to 100 wins again, but you never know. They're a couple injuries away from, you know, really falling apart. And the White Sox are good. The Cleveland, baseball team? Cleveland baseball team is not too bad either, so I guess I would be on the under there.
Yeah, I would lean that way, although, you know, I could also see him running away with, you know, 90, 95, 99 wins, but yeah, it's best to just kind of lay off. I did do one over-under. I did the under on the Texas Rangers at, like, 70.5 because
And you make fun of me for betting on Mexican soccer. You're betting on the team win total for the Texas Rangers.
One of the sharps that I follow gave that tip out, and he's really good with like season long over unders. So I was like, you know, it's worth plunking down a few chips on. So yeah, I was gonna say go Rangers. Anything but go Rangers. Lose Rangers, lose. So yeah, there we go. So. All right, well, that will do it for the bets update. We got some quotes for you.
And now it's time for the quotes of the week.
I'd let Brett Favre be on me.
Sure.
Ted Bundy's been to the Rose Bowl more recently than the Gophers.
Because it's hard to bang and play it at the same time.
Bang and lung darts, whale.
All right, friends, it is time to get to the quotes of the week. And we will start off at number 3 with Chris Hockey.
The Frozen Four is set.
Everything's going up.
Minnesota Duluth Bulldogs, UMass, Minnesota Mankato, and, of course, St. Cloud State.
Of course.
The Gophers lost 4-0 to Mankato last night.
It was really cold on Saturday. I gave your dad the Frozen Four.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Oh man, that's so good. You know, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later on in the show, but I think if you know the definition of the Alaskan pipeline, that could technically be an Alaskan pipeline. You could create that in your head.
Oh yes, and you know every time, because obviously the Frozen Four was a big topic of conversation with 3 of the 4 teams being from Minnesota, and you know, like sometime on Sunday, Hockey heard about the Frozen Four, he thought up that little joke, and it was just sitting in there waiting to come out with it, and he was so proud of himself for thinking of the Frozen Four. So, well done, sir. And then I think later they were talking about the Elite Eight, and they said he'd have to do it twice. So.
Probably 3 or 4 times, if we're being honest.
That was brilliant. I love that.
Okay. Well, you know, that was so good from Hawk that we're going to have an encore here. At number 2, it's Chris Hockey.
It's the best.
Hockey shops.
Yeah, man, I got a lot of shopping to do.
He does that when he's working.
Yeah, man. I watch, like, old concerts on YouTube.
You know what the sound of the Vikings horn reminds me of?
What?
Christmas.
Yep.
Because yep. I'm always Christmas shopping.
Yep.
Oh yeah, just, you know, buying Abba Dabba, you know, a toaster oven for her dorm at college coming up, or you know, it's just so Chris Hockey to not care about the Vikings game and just online shop.
Yeah, and it is so on brand for him to do that. And it's so funny because, like, you know, it's the road games where he actually does seem to pay attention, because he's kind of part of the whole. You know, when he goes on the road trip and he's part of the crew and he's got PA stories and he's talking about all the communication that's going on. He's always got, you know, he really seems to pay attention on the road games. But man, get him in studio in front of a computer and it's all about shopping.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, PA was, you know, pooping his pants while on the road that he was there. It's kind of tough to avoid that.
Oh, dear.
Anyway. Let's get to the number 1 quote of the week, and it is from Mr. Four, Core.
Step up to the plate if you're going to say rock and roll train sucks.
How did you write it?
And finally, a last
How's
chance
your
effort.
Throat? None of your business.
Yeah, wow. Don't you usually ask that off the
What are you, scouting?
Genius.
Oh my God, Perry's laugh is priceless.
Oh yeah, I think he laughed for like 2.5 minutes while I was cutting that audio up. My fiance from the basement was yelling like, "What the hell is that?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, it's just Mark Parrish uncontrollably laughing for like 3 minutes."
Oh my God, that was so brilliant. And what I loved about it too is it was like, it was just so out there that like everybody was like rushing to get their line in there, because Meat Sauce's line was good too, where he's like, "Don't you usually ask that off the air?" And I'm like, yeah, uh-huh. Everybody was just bombarding with lines. So yeah, that was, brilliantly done and well played by Corey.
Yes, it was the quote version of batting practice there. So
exactly.
Well done. And I think that is the number 1 quote of the week for a second consecutive week for Mr. Corey Cove. So, you know, he might not get get as much love here, you know, in Power Trip, the Power Trip quote world. But eyeball emoji, Corey Cove
Might have some top seeds in that old quote of the year tournament.
Yes, make a deep run. Well, that will do it for the quotes of the week.
It's time for the weekly segment of Your Thoughts. Copyright Dark Star.
Yes, indeed. We always remember Dark as part of our podcast, and I think we're going to talk more about that in quotes notes, so we'll save that for then. But today in Your Thoughts, we are going to talk some Hadouken. So I listened to most of PA's shows, while I'm working. And a couple weeks ago, out of completely nowhere, for no apparent reason whatsoever, which is completely on brand for PA, he greeted a couple people by saying Hadouken. And I'm like, I hadn't thought about Hadouken in like 5 or 6 years since it was like a really big thing on the Power Trip. And then it just, like a lot of things do, it just kind of fades away over time and stuff. I have no idea what triggered it. You know, me trying to analyze PA's brain. I mean, talk about an exercise in futility there. So, from out of nowhere, he just said Hadouken. And it really got me to thinking, like, Hadouken was an awesome word. It's a super versatile word. It's kind of like the F word. I mean, you can use the F word in so many different ways. I think that's why it remains, you know, lots of people's favorite word. And so I thought I'm going to have you help me run this down a little bit, Dave. I've got like 6 different ways that Hadouken has been used on the Power Trip. And we can kind of talk through these and see what we prefer. So the first audio clip I have queued up here is it's showing as a sign of dominance. Now, we all remember how dominant the Lynx were, winning all those championships, the only Minnesota team that can win a damn championship. Piled up several championships under Cheryl Reeves. So when they were talking about the Lynx in one of the clips, they used Hadouken as a form of dominance.
For most of the show, obviously, the Lynx are in the WNBA Finals. We got a big injury with the Wild.
So, I think that's a really good thing to say. Like, you know, hey, I'm number one. We're the best. Hadouken.
That is a very creative way to use Hadouken.
Hadouken. So, yeah, if you know, like, for example, you know, you're gonna be attending the Frozen Four next week. If St. Cloud State somehow wins the championship in Pittsburgh there, you know, instead of, you know, going all crazy and throwing crap up in the air and stuff, you just stand there and yell Hadouken.
That is what I will do. That is exactly what I'll do. The one single tweet will just go out with my arms in the air from the back with my Paris jersey on, and it's just going to say Hadouken.
That would be brilliant. I'll also look for you later in the psych ward at Pittsburgh Regional. But all right. Well, the next use of Hadouken, and this actually came up quite a bit, was just a dead air filler. You know, sometimes, you know, Abbott doesn't want dead air. He complains, and, you know, there's meetings and callings into offices and things like that. So Hadouken was frequently used to just fill some dead air space while people are gathering their thoughts, or there's, you know, a moment of pause.
But what really matters is this.
90% of movies released in the United States are porn.
Of course, Meat Sauce would have that stat on top of things. But yeah, it was kind of like, you know, there's a little bit of a pause there before he reads the what really matters. And that's a good place to insert, you know, a little Hadouken.
And honestly, back in the day, the Hadouken button was probably completely worn out because it got played so much. So I think any space there was in the show for dead air was filled by a Hadouken.
Hadouken. All right. Well, another place, and it was kind of like that in the last clip. It was a little bit of a transition, but here's a use of Hadouken where it's transitioning from one clip to another.
Goes a fade route toward the end zone. It's Mike Williams. He goes up. He comes down with it. It's a touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Hadouken gets the wind. Pretend that I...
So, you play the audio clip. You want to go to the music to fade out the segment. You play the Hadouken.
Oh, it's so funny. Like I think of when when PA and Nordo, like on Mondays in the NFL season, they do their recap and they play like, oh, here's the local call of, you know, that Mike Evans touchdown. And then they like play it and, you know, right in between the call, there's just a Hadouken. And then it's like, that was Bob Johnson, 9:70 a.m. XXXR.
XXXR, yes. Yeah, no, it's a perfect little transition back to whatever's going on. So yes, I like that, especially because, you know, when you hear like the out of town broadcaster, they're gonna have no idea what the Hadouken is or means. So it's kind of funny to play this bit thing right after their call. So
it's definitely left up for interpretation.
For sure. Well, the next way Hadouken can be used is as a term of agreement. So if I agree with you, I can simply say Hadouken.
That he's a little inconsistent and maybe a little bit of a head case. Who knows? He's 6'6", he's Hadouken. 248, and he's gorgeous. Who knows?
So Meat Sauce was in complete agreement with Corey's analysis and simply said Hadouken to show his approval.
Oh, that kind of reminds me of, you know, Corey says sure a lot more than like regular humans use the word sure, mm-hmm. like to agree with it. It's like, Corey, you're a man, right?
And he goes, sure.
Sure. Like it always, like anytime he says that, it always like sets something off in my brain. I'm like, oh, I got to remember to bring that up. You know, Hadouken works as well instead of sure's.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's just that sort of a term of agreement. Like, yeah. Okay. Hadouken. So, I think Hadouken, from now on,
young sir.
Maybe from now on, when you bring something up in quotes notes that I agree with, I will simply Hadouken you. So,
I won't hold my breath.
That's true. You might not hear it at all. Well, they don't often take callers on the show. You know, they take them a lot less frequently. It seems like all the time. But for one of the segments back in the day when Hadouken was a big thing, they had some call-ins, and they actually used a Hadouken to calm the caller.
Riley in St. Paul. What's up, man?
Hadouken to both of you, gentlemen.
Hadouken to you as well, Riley.
As well.
Hadouken. What do you think about Josh Freeman?
So, you know, just kind of a, okay, welcome to the show. We're all here together. Hadouken.
You know, it's like the radio show is a metaphorical, you know, tree fort that they were letting them in, and the password was Hadouken.
Absolutely. Like,
Hadouken. Okay. Welcome on. You're good.
For sure. And it really, I mean, and the way, in the context, the way PA used it on the show a couple weeks ago was it really as a form of greeting. And that was kind of that way as well. It's sort of like, you know, an acknowledgement, like, yeah, we're here together, you know, Hadouken to you, and let's go, you know. So
I
like that.
Hadouken, yeah.
Hadouken, Dave. Good to have you here. So, all right. Well, the last one I pulled, it can just be used as a filler when they're playing bumper music.
Hadouken! But like the burden!
Now that was a double bonus because you got like that whole, I don't even know how, what the Hatsukakas, like, I don't even know what that guy was saying.
It's from Mortal Kombat.
Right. But like, I can't even like really say that the way, like Hadouken I can say, cause I can hear Hadouken, I can say Hadouken, but I have no idea what that even is.
You know, maybe we're not thinking of this deep enough. Maybe Hadouken is its own language, and maybe he was saying something, a phrase like, I'm going to rip, you know, your head off and kick you in the balls in Hadouken.
In Hadouken. Well, it reminds me too of the game I played with Tommy a few weeks ago where it was like, if you could only say three words for like a week or whatever, what would the three words be? I only need one. Hadouken, man. It's so versatile. If I could just say Hadouken for a week, I'd be good. I could greet people. I could, you know, fill time. I could fill space, whatever I need to do. I could be, you know, excited and say it. You know, I think that's the only word we need.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking of when we're in Vegas here this summer. You know, if I get three words, I think one of them is definitely going to be Hadouken.
for sure. Yeah, and if I'm at the pie gout table and I hit like one of the if I hit one of the progressives, you know damn well I'm standing up and screaming Hadouken.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm standing on the table screaming Hadouken.
I think Hadouken's going to be my go-to word in Vegas if I win. You win a sports bet. Of course, we're only going to have baseball available, but you win a baseball game, or you hit a jackpot in Pai Gow, or you hit something on the slots or whatever. It's going to be Hadouken.
Maybe we should try to find a Mortal Kombat slot machine.
Maybe
there's like a Hadouken bonus.
Son of a bitch, that would be the greatest idea of all time. If somebody had a Mortal Kombat slot machine, I would play that mofo nonstop until I got the Hadouken bonus for sure.
And make it look like it's like a stand-up arcade. Sick.
You'd have to do that. That would be absolutely fantastic. The Hadouken bonus.
Hadouken.
We should be hired by the casinos to come up with these ideas, because I think this is just beyond brilliant. How cool would it be if you hit the bonus round in the Mortal Kombat slot machine, you win a hand pay, and the person, the casino employee bringing you the hand pay, walks out with his plate full of cash, hands it to you, and simply says, Hadouken.
Yeah, I see the, the ham pay, call attendant, and it's just, $2,400, $2,500, $2,650, and $0.69. And just, a bow of the hands, put the hands together and bow of the head. Hadouken. It's a sign of respect.
Absolutely. In fact, I think the one place I am going to use it to is when I'm at the Pai Gow table and the drink cart lady comes around, when I flip that chip onto her tray for a tip, I'm simply going to flip it up there and say, Hadouken. It's, thank you, Hadouken. So.
Well, I will police that.
For sure. Oh, such a great word. I am definitely going to make use of that a lot more. One of those things. Once again, thank you, PA, for whatever randomness made you say that 2 weeks ago. I've been in love with the word Hadouken all over again. All right. Well, it's time for Quotes Notes. Your description of this Quotes Notes intro from when you sent it to me doesn't set a very high bar for me. So here we go. I'm assuming I need to stay close to the dump button.
You're safe. Just put on earmuffs.
It's time for Quotes Notes. Try not to snore. It's time for Quotes Notes. Hawk's sister is a whore. This segment's so dumb. No wonder there's no pay. Here are the Quotes Notes that I have today. It's time for Quotes Notes. Try not to snore. It's time for Quotes Notes. Hawk's sister is a whore. This segment's so dumb. No wonder there's no pay. Here are the Quotes Notes that I have today.
Now, I'm not one to question artistic decisions, but I really have to wonder, why did you sing the second verse to that? Like, it was actually really good on your normal kind of singing voice. When you took it up three octaves, that's where you kind of lost me.
Yeah, I was trying to find that difference because I forgot what the recording was. If it went up one octave or 20, and I guess I went with 17 there. I don't know. I had to, throw some. I can't be too serious about this. Come on. It's baseball season. Baseball starts today.
Let's go.
I had two hot dogs for dinner. That's my tradition. So every home opener or whenever baseball opens for the season, I always grill hot dogs for dinner. I make pork and beans, and I get the Ruffles sour cream and cheddar chips, and I scoop the pork and beans out of a bowl with the potato chips, eat the hot dogs, have a Budweiser. I'm kind of getting like a little stiff thinking about this dinner again, but it's baseball season. Glad to have baseball season back.
These wieners are straight and strong.
These wieners are straight. Yeah, I love that bit. What next do you got? Embers Bangs. obviously Zach Daniels, was heartbroken when, I think the last embers now in Minnesota is now going to be closing. Fun fact that nobody gives anything about, put this in the book of quotes. But after I passed my driver's license test in St. Cloud at the DMV, my dad took me out to breakfast at Embers. So, shout out Embers. may it live in heaven.
Yeah, there. I only ever ate at the one in St. Louis Park. I ate there a few times. It was like a family kind of, like, we'd have like family gatherings and stuff like that. Maybe end up at the Embers, but God, that's been since I was a kid. And having not lived in Minnesota for so long, like, yeah, it's just one of those things that kind of faded from my memory. But a little bit sad, that it's gone. And I remember that. I will always remember their commercials from when I was a kid because it was just some jingle saying "Remember the Embers." So. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh man, that's why I should have did the quotes notes open to this year. Damn. On kind of that same line, and Perkins also bangs. It's probably the leader in the clubhouse here if we're talking breakfast spots, chain breakfast spots here in Minnesota. But the one in St. Cloud downtown, which I've been to, 69,000 times after the bar downtown finally shut down. It's being torn down. It's probably going to be like a parking lot or something. I don't know. The downtown area in St. Cloud sucks, except for the Pioneer Place. But yeah, it was emotional. A lot of drunken omelets were ate at that Perkins.
Yeah, I don't dislike Perkins. I mean, it's good, and you can get what you want there, whatever. I still remember. I don't know if you remember the Happy Chef. I loved the Happy Chef, and that was there were several locations throughout the greater Minnesota area, and yeah, very very much like a Perkins. You could kind of get breakfast all the time, and yeah, it's I think almost every time I was at the Happy Chef, I had a nice stack of pancakes. So yeah, definitely some nostalgia there.
All right. Well, speaking of nostalgia, Kevin Gorg was in on Friday, and yes. I don't know how we got to it, but we got down to. Going down memory lane, talking about Dark Star and, retelling some of those stories. It kind of pains me to think that, Dark is gone because, he meant so much and assisted creating some of these, stars here on KFAN that we listen to every day for years. But it really brings a smile to my face to listen to all these, Dark Star isms and all the crazy, weird things that that he did, and just all the stories. I just couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah, I mean, for a radio station that's known for its bits, I mean, Dark's whole life was a bit. I mean, it really was, and yet that was him. I mean, he was his, I think Sauce said it best. He was his own person. I mean, he was just absolutely like he marched to the beat of his own drum. He did things a certain way. I watched, after that, I just could not get enough of that segment, and I had to re-listen to it, of course, and it was so much fun to hear the story. And there's so many other stories. I mean, there is like an infinite supply of Dark Star stories. I mean, they scratched the tip of the iceberg with the ones that they were talking about on Gorg's appearance on Friday. I had to go back and play some clips from the time when Dark passed and some of the memories people had of him and stuff. And what becomes apparent when you hear everybody else's stories is just all the connections the guy had. I mean, he knew everybody, and one of them that really stood out to me was Sid Hartman was talking about how he wanted like some tickets to like a boxing match in Vegas or something, like some really, something out of town, cause Sid knew everybody in Minnesota, but this was something like out of town or whatever. And, he said that Dark made one phone call and had the tickets, like, no problem. So, just an amazing guy. Lots of crazy, crazy stories about him. I keep a $100 bill in my wallet because of Dark Star, just these little weird ways that he kind of, kind of is still all around. And I think that's a tremendous legacy when so many, I mean, like when Sid passed, you heard, you know, there's lots of people that had different run-ins with Sid and stuff like that, you know, and you'll hear, you know, different things about different people. It's like, you know, and Dark was definitely a different guy. And yet, you know, everybody that was around him for a significant amount of time absolutely loved the guy. And, oh my God, I just, they could do five shows. They do a whole week of shows with just different guests talking about Dark Star, and I still would not get sick of it at all.
Yeah, I mean, even on the quote side, you know, he's got so many funny liners that get played, you know, a lot of them on Common Show a lot. You know, the $428 jeans, pop those suckers up on the stool.
And the wolves will come howling at your door, mama.
Yep, and, you know, Sauce even touched on, you know, his love for Lee Westwood. You know, it's such a random thing. Like, and out of nowhere, Lee Westwood has kind of had a resurgence of his career. But, anyways, we could go on for days. We could have a whole show just on talking Dark Star. But
the best.
Just love, and I'm smiling even now thinking about him. So,
absolutely.
Next up, today was the 9-year anniversary, and I put this out on Twitter, and I was lucky enough that it got that Corey brought it up here for the last segment of Thursday's show. But today is the 9th anniversary of the Meat Sauce I Need a Dome Dog tweet while Corey and Gerdzy were trying to get on the air live from, I believe it was San Antonio, at the Final Four. There's just nothing more Meat Sauce than in the world than instead of doing his job and, you know, producing a live broadcast, he goes to Twitter and wants a dome dog.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, there are things, you know, different people have different defining moments and stuff like that. If you like want one tiny little snippet to try to describe who Meat Sauce is, that's it right there. That is exhibit A of Meat Sauce. So it's absolutely brilliant. And yeah, I love you tweet that out, and you got a whole segment out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get 3 weeks out of you know, the swimming bit that you brought up, but we'll take it. It should be celebrated. And while we're talking about anniversaries here, Chuck, today is probably an even bigger anniversary that should not be overshadowed. But today is the 6th anniversary of the I Like the Alaskan Pipeline bit.
Oh my God. Still one of the best of all time.
I talk about it every time you know, it gets brought up here. But I'll never forget, I was on the shuttle going to the airport to go to my first trip to the Masters, and I literally stopped and looked to everybody next beside me. Like, they could hear it through my headphones, but it was a where were you moment. I'll never forget where I was. And I believe I said it the last 2 years that I've brought it up here, and I'm making it an annual tradition. You know, around Christmas time, you know, you read the Christmas story, or you read a couple of your, you know, favorite passages from the Bible. Well, on April 1st, we read the Urban Dictionary definition of the Alaskan Pipeline. The Alaskan Pipeline is the act of pooping into a condom, freezing the rubber overnight, and inserting it into one's anus.
Yeah, I'll just let that breathe a little bit.
Yep.
So,
3, 2, 1. Okay, we're clear.
And end scene. All right. Yeah. Well, and I love, too, that, like, I mean, like you said, the anniversary is April 1st. That had so many legs that lasted into a state fair t-shirt at the end of August. So, Rosie caught absolute hell for 5 months for that one line.
Yeah. And we never got the true. I Like the Alaskan Pipeline shirt. We got the Rosie and Sons Pipeline Company, which, you know, was still very good. Everybody still knew truly what the bit was. Yeah. Oh man, that was, I mean, we're still talking about it now, 6 years later. So
happy anniversary.
Kind of on the more random note here, the fusion mixes that Hawk was playing, On Monday, banged super hard. They even brought up today the idea of Fusion Friday. I kind of like it. What about you, Chuck?
Some are better than others. I'm like, I've got nothing against it. But yeah, it's fine. I will put it that way.
Says,
it's fine.
Says the guy who has Skrillex for his open in the show.
like I said, some are better than others and whatever, but I will rank it above Jackal, put it that way. I know Sauce is on a big Jackal kick right now, but yeah, I will put that above Jackal.
Is that not sacrilegious for you, Mr. Man of 80s terrible hair rock?
Jackal's on a whole, it's not even fair to call them like part of that. They're just on their whole other bizarre plane. So they're now, you want to talk White Lion, don't even compare Jackal to White Lion. They couldn't even hold a candle to White Lion.
How many chainsaw solos did White Lion have?
None.
I'm the Jackal, baby.
Vito Brada was way too good to do a chainsaw solo.
Itu Brute. Okay. time for two more. It's going to be kind of hockey central here. Really feel bad for the Hill Murray Pioneers as they were not able to compete in this year's state tournament as defending AA champions. I think everybody by now has kind of heard the song and dance there too. There's so many angles here, and I think about the kids. I don't think about the parents who probably have net incomes of like $700,000 a year that are complaining like little B words. I think about the kids there. I remember the day that I had to end my high school hockey career, and it was probably one of the saddest days of my life. And to have that taken from you, when you didn't lose a game, you didn't get hurt. It was something that was really out of your control. I really feel for those kids. That's just a tough way to end your hockey career. I mean, granted, there's going to be 2% of all high school hockey players are going to go on to the next level. But for a lot of those kids, that's the last hockey game they'll ever play. So hope they had fun taking down Zach's White Bear Lake Bear squad.
Yeah, and speaking of Zach, my biggest thing about the whole Hill Murray thing is I wish Zach would have weighed in with an opinion on it, because I just feel like we didn't hear enough from Zach about how he felt about the whole Hill Murray situation.
Yeah, it's probably because he's so biased, because it's their hated rival. He's just not speaking up for the kids, not doing what's right. Just kind of selling out to try to get a radio job, for the state tournament.
It was fun.
No, good for Zach.
Yeah.
Good for Zach, man.
I know, absolutely.
He's an up-and-coming broadcaster. He has Minnesota ties. He is the perfect person. If he got the right situation and had the right interviewer, had the right person listening to him, we could be hearing Zach Halverson broadcast the state hockey tournament on the radio for the next 60 years, 65 years, who knows? Good for him to kind of realize the situation and not care about the man. I mean, if we're getting a little controversial here, Johnny Pohl is the athletic director for Hill Murray, and he was asked, during the game, they brought him in while Jim Erickson and Lou Nanny were broadcasting one of the quarterfinal games the other night. And he was just asking, "Hey, Johnny Pohl, how's it going? What are some of your, memories of the state high school hockey tournament and all this stuff?" It's like, you know what he's thinking inside right now? If this broadcast wasn't sponsored by the Minnesota State High School Association, I would be ripping this whole thing to shreds and, burning this place to the ground. But he's standing up for the Shield. And meanwhile, little heroes like Zach Halverson are laying it out on the line for the kids. Hashtag for the kids.
And speaking of Lou Nanny, how brilliant would it be to have Lou Nanny and Jacques co-host the state high school hockey tournament?
Oh, man. I mean, all the B's in the last names for Edina. And, you know, I'm sure Booch and Burns would somehow be playing in the tournament.
That'd be the best.
Yes. Okay, last one here, and this is a personal note. This has nothing to do with the power trip, but my St. Cloud State Huskies have made the Frozen Fourth of it the second time in school history. And yes, I put it out there on Twitter. I am very fortunate, very lucky. But in the midst of a pandemic, I am going to the Frozen Four. My dad and I went in 2013 when the Huskies made the Frozen Four for the first time. And out of nowhere, you know, we thought, you know, who travels to Pittsburgh other than, you know, for a sales conference or something, you know, like that. And we had the absolute time of our lives. It was one of the most fun trips I had with my dad. And when we saw that this site was announced for the Frozen Four, we said, you know, if they make it, we're going no matter what. And sure enough, they're allowing fans. And we're going, and I'm going to have a blast, you know, getting blown out 12-0 by Mankato and, you know, it's crying and, you know, drinking a whole bottle of tequila by myself. But, man, I'm very excited.
Yeah, that will definitely be cool. The only Frozen Four I've ever attended where the Gophers were playing, they lost to BU in the semis, and my best friend, he was BU was his team, so that's why we went to the Frozen Four. And then so he got to go to the finals, and then they promptly got blown out by Lake Superior State 10-1. So yeah, It was not a fun tournament for either one of us, but it was really cool. That was in St. Paul. That was a lot of fun. But so good on you. That will be fun, exciting. Good thing you're going in with low expectations. Because yes. Who knows what can happen. You know, they always say puck luck, right? So anything can happen when it's a single game elimination between four teams. And good on Minnesota. I mean, I'm a Gopher fan, but I'm not one of these, unlike a lot of the other Minnesota fans in the state, I'm not I don't hate the teams that aren't my team in Minnesota. It's like I cheer for all the Minnesota teams, and so I'm just hoping that one of the three can be the champion and not UMass. So I think it's awesome. It highlights just what an absolute state of hockey it is, and I'm not one of the people you see out there ripping the other schools because, that's just not my style, at least when it comes to hockey. So anyway, but enough of that soapbox. Good luck to all the teams. You know, if I had a sentimental favorite between the three, God, because UMD's won it twice. I mean, they're technically the two-time defending champions. So I would have to say that they're like third on my list, you know, just because they've won, you know, absolutely nothing against the school. Sandlin runs an amazing program and everything. You know, between the other two, it's like, you know, I think St. Cloud's paid more of their dues a little bit. And so I feel like, you know, they're kind of the ones that maybe quote unquote deserve it a little more. And, you know, and that would be awesome for Perry if St. Cloud State could do it. And then, you know, you got Minnesota State, you know, they've got their first two wins. I mean, they've just been looking for their win. So they finally got their first two wins. So I feel like, you know, maybe that's good enough and stuff like that. But, you know, we do love Ryan Carter around here as well, too. So it'd be cool for him. But I guess sentimentally, and because you're my podcast co-host, I will be cheering mostly for St. Cloud State. Between the three teams, but for me, it's hashtag anybody but UMass.
For how much everybody likes the Vikings, you know, likes the Wild or all these other sports teams, there is, you know, by light years, the team that I would love to win a champion, you know, a national championship or Stanley Cup or all this stuff, it's the St. Cloud State Huskies, man. My dad's been sneaking me into games since before I was able to walk, you know, sneaking me in his coat. It just means the world to me. So that's why they're going to lose by like 12 in the first round. So it's, oh man, it's going to be crushing, but it's all right. It's all right. I've accepted it.
Well, it'll be fun and enjoy the trip. That's for sure.
Yes. Well, that'll do it for Quotes Notes.
All right. Well, in the meantime, that will do it for our show. Where can they find you at, Dave?
You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at PowerTripQuotes.
All right. And I'm, of course, at PowerTripBets. And I actually created at LungDartLegends today just to move that off the PowerTripBets side of things. Because it's always weird. Like when I tweet out like four things in a row that are related to like PowerTripBets or odds or stuff like that. And then I throw in a long dart legend. So I was like, yeah, I'll just move it to its own Twitter account. I think I've got a grand total of like four followers out there right now. But
hey, I'm one of them.
You are one of them. And it's like I mentioned last week, it's one of those things where it's like there's like a few hardcore people that like are sending me ideas and, you know, they're liking all the tweets or responding to them and stuff like that. So it's like, even if I'm playing this for like an audience of like 5 or 10 people, it's been kind of funny to go through all these old photos and stuff. So, yeah, at Lung Dart Legends, if you're interested in that sort of thing. Otherwise, if not, ignore it. And Power Trip Bets will kind of get back to just being good old Power Trip Bets. So, all right, well, that will do it for this week's show. Good luck to all the Minnesota teams, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to the Bets and Quotes podcast. Be sure to give us a rating on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And if you think we're hideous, please lie.